Have you experienced any trial or struggle in your life? Every day? As we recall the creation of the world, in the 6 days that it took God to make everything that we see, one of the most astounding pictures that we see at the conclusion of each day, God said that it was good. What does "it is good" mean? It means that, first of all, it reflects the personality of Creator God. Secondly, it fits the design for which it was created, and it was perfect in its design. And he puts 6 days together, and he even gets to the evening of the sixth day when humanity comes onto the scene. But we have this picture of harmony, of perfection. Is that the picture of the world that you live in? I think we see a lot of harmony in our world today, don't we? Everybody gets along with everybody. Oh, I was wrong. Yeah. If I can remember correctly, that a third of California just burned up this last year. That doesn't sound like too much peace and harmony, does it? And as we look around and we see the world and we see the wars and the rumors of war, it just doesn't appear that people are getting along very well. And it's in direct contrast to the world that God created in those 6 days. Because in the evening of the sixth day, Jesus and God got together and they said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness." So they created man in their image and their likeness, which, by the way, was a perfect image and a perfect likeness. And they got along perfectly. And so there was great harmony. And then God saw that it wasn't good for the man to be alone. So he made a woman. And in that garden scene, there was great harmony. Perfect. No, Randy, it wasn't trouble. It was perfect harmony. Everybody was getting along. The earth functioned as it was supposed to. So what happened to earth? What happened that we experience all the things that we experience? How many of you are just solely confident to walk down any street in Chicago, in Danville, in St. Louis, just any street, any time of the day or night? You just feel safe to do that because the world is just hunky-dory. I don't think we would do that, would we? Because we're afraid. And so the question is, what world am I living in? I went through the Bible. Now, this is not an inclusive list by any means, but I have about 27 passages of Scripture that tell us that this world is not the world that God intended for us. In fact, in our Scripture text for today, it says, "Don't love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh, are not from God. They come from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But he who does the will of the Father lives forever." Okay. The world and its desires are going to pass away. Jesus himself said, and I'm just cherry picking a few of the passages of Scripture that we say, in Matthew, the 24th chapter, the 35th verse, it says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never fail." And as we think about the ministry of Jesus Christ, the apostles, the church, us here today as Christians, what is the purpose for us being in this world that's broken and dark and is not going to be around forever? What world do you want to live in? Where's your security if you know that this world is going away? Yeah, we got to put our security someplace else. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. So what world are we striving to live in? This is God's world. He made it. It says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it and everybody in it belong to the Lord. The earth was made by God for his own good pleasure. And I think we get that backwards. We say, and I think I get there sometimes too, that the world was made for my pleasure. And I certainly enjoy this world. But this world is broken. And a couple of weeks ago, I said, have you ever seen a perfect sunrise? And I suggest you have not, because we're in an imperfect world. Have you ever seen anything perfect? And I would suggest, no, we have not, because we are in a perfect, we have no idea what perfection is. But if we are connected to this world, and that's why Jesus, when he came in his ministry, began to proclaim a new kingdom, a new world, one where we never die, one where there's no tears or sorrow or suffering or pain. Guess the doctor's kind of out. Kathy, I'm sorry, your profession's going down the tubes. Do we know of a world like that? Have we experienced? I guess we know of a world because Jesus told us about one. But have we experienced a world like that? Now, the irony here is that every one of us are residents of planet Earth. And there are things about planet Earth that we love, that we attach ourselves to. You know, almost every one of us, unless we are homeless or live in a tent or some other reason, by whatever choice, we live in a house, don't we? And boy, do we invest a lot in a house. You know, it's a lifetime project and probably a lifetime expense. And you know what? You never really get it paid for because they have this thing called property taxes, and they're coming up, aren't they? So if you don't pay those, if you choose to exercise some of your own self-will and you choose not to pay those, guess what they do? They'll take it away from you. So is this thing that we spend so much time and money on, is it really ours? It's not ours. Tell me, what in this world is truly ours? And I'm going to tell you, there's one thing, just one thing, that's truly ours. That is, nobody can take it from us. No government, no power, no entity. One thing that can't be taken from us. And that is our relationship with Jesus Christ. You stop to think about it. As unthinkable as it might be, there is not a single earthly relationship without Jesus Christ in it that cannot be destroyed. Not one. And we see it happening all around us, don't we? We live in a broken world. We live in a world that it was never God's intent. You know, man hadn't been on the scene very long when he thought he could do it better than God, or at least help God out a little bit. And it never ended up well when man tries to help God do what God does best. And so he was looking down on the earth, and he became sorry that he'd even created man. And I can just imagine this picture that Jesus and God was having, and the Holy Spirit, he says, you know, we were getting along pretty good till we created man. And then we gave man this choice like we have. You know, God could sin if he wanted to. But he chooses not to. Otherwise, there would be a limit on what God could do. Why is God holy and righteous if he could not sin? What's the big deal about being holy and righteous if he can't sin? God can sin if he wants to. But he chooses not to, and God is faithful. And we've seen his litany of faithfulness throughout all of history. God is who he is. God is who he says he is. And God does what he says he will do. And so as he looked down and he saw that this world was falling apart, it was nothing like he intended, he prepared one man, Noah, his wife, and three sons, eight people in all, to start anew. Now, the amazing thing about this, you see, God created or destroyed the earth. Every living creature, everything that was alive, that had breath in its body, in its lungs, in its gills, where all those living things were killed. It was gone. We have a reset. And everybody that came out of there, and by the way, we're all related. Did you know that? Because we all came from the ark, every one of us, from that generation of those who came out of the ark. And every one of those that came out of the ark had an intense knowledge of who God was. And they had just witnessed the most powerful event that has ever happened on planet Earth. A flood that covered the entire universe. The world that was no more. But God recreated the earth after the flood, put new life on it, which he had come into the ark and repopulated the earth. And guess what road we're on? We're on the same road that our ancestors before the flood was on, because we're killing each other. We're hating each other. We're being hateful to each other. It's not a pretty picture out there, is it? Is this the picture that God intended for us to be in? Do you think it was God's intent to put us in this cesspool of life? To struggle? To be broken? To be heartbroken? And all these things that we have, was that God's intent? And if that was God's intent, you know, we might have to rethink who he is. Or at least his attitude. But we know that that wasn't God's intent. In fact, in the book of James, it says, God doesn't tempt anybody. And it says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Jesus spent 3 years telling 12 people that there's another world. And there's a better world. And that this world that they're walking around in and all the beauty that they see in the buildings and in the landscape and the geography and all of that, that this is soon going to be gone. It's not going to last forever. And so if you want to live forever, we have to be a resident of some kind of a organization, don't we? Or a country. We have to have some place to go. The book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, talks about people who were given a promise, Abraham specifically. And he wandered around his whole life, even had a son called Isaac. And when he died, he had not received all of the promises that God had given to him, but yet were passed on and were not realized. In fact, until the church was established on the day of Pentecost, when Christ became the center and focal part of all forgiveness for all of humanity, that changes the world that we live in. Does it change the physical world? No. But it changes our world. And we know that, as recorded in the book of Hebrews, that there were people who wandered around like Abraham that weren't tying in or locking in or putting roots down in a piece of earth or territory or a home place, because they were looking for a country that wasn't made with human hands. They were looking for a country that was made by God, that was established by God, that was going to be last forever. And in that country, in that place that God has created for all of us to be in, who believe in him, who accept him, who obey him, where we can dwell face to face with God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of curious about what it's going to be like to be face to face with God, who is so holy and righteous that if I saw him on this planet and I was to see his face, I would die immediately, because he is so holy. And the amazing thing is that because we are a part of this broken world, because we have sinned, and because Jesus has come, we will be able to look on the face of God, because the blood of Jesus, when it comes to that perfection, when we will be changed, because flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, and we're all going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and the immortal will put on immortality, and that which is corruptible will put on incorruption, and we will be like God. And because we are absent, or sin is absent from our lives, we can look face to face on God, and we can see the light of his presence. And this old earth is going to go away. The earth's going to fall. Revelations is a terrifying piece of a literature, inspired by God, revealed to John, who wrote it down for us, that part of the world is going to fall apart, and in the plagues and the trumpets and the bowls and all these things that happen, the world's falling apart. But friends, the good news is the church has the vision of the real world that transcends any of the bad stuff that's going to go on in our world. I'm an American. I'm proud to be an American, and I hope you are too. And I'm not saying that facetiously. I think it's a great place of opportunity, a place where we can shine the light of God, probably brighter than any other place in the entire world. I'm proud of that. But you know, if America goes the way of history, we're on the downside. And if I've planted all my seeds, if I have put all my hope in the structure and the place called America, I'm going to be a loser. Because heaven and earth will pass away. The earth will melt with fervent heat. The heavens that God created will disintegrate. And if I put all my hope into what I see, into what I touch, in the firmament that I walk on, I am a loser. The only way that I can win in this world is to be a citizen of this planet with a greater citizenship founded in Jesus Christ and rooted in that eternal kingdom that will never fade away. What world am I living in? Am I tied to this world? Tied to the allurement of the smorgasbord of opportunity and desire and possessions and power and glitter and fame and all those things that look so attractive? Is that my citizenship? Is that where it belongs? Or is it in the bright glory that makes all these things that this earth has to offer look pale and worn out and raggedy and worthless? I remember one time in the scriptures where Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and the Bible says he was hungry. To me, that's a duh. I've probably been there on day one. But then Satan comes to him, and he puts out all these things. And he says, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. Why is that so important? Because heaven and earth are passing away, but the word of God will remain forever. God's word is life for us. And so he took him into the temple and put him on the highest pinnacle of the temple. He says, cast your self down, because you know it's written about you that God will commend his angels and they'll lift you up on your wings so that you don't even dash your foot against them. Jesus said, it's also written, don't put the Lord your God to the test. And that refers to the wanderings that the Israelites did when they left Egypt and they were in the wilderness. And very shortly after they had left Egypt, they were asking, is God really with us? That's not how we're going to live, is it? In a world that offers us so many gods to choose from, there's one God. Is he with us? And by faith, we know that he is. Even though we can't see his presence, we experience his presence through the Holy Spirit. And the last thing that Satan did was took this hungry human being, this Jesus, God's only son, God incarnate, creator of everything that we see, took him up on a high mountain and showed him all the splendors of the world, all the smorgasbord of life, the best, the brightest, the most beneficial. And Satan says, all these things I will give to you if you just bow down and worship me. But heaven and earth, all that Jesus was looking at, all that Satan was offering, was someday going to pass away. It's going to burn like so many pieces of wood on a fire. And Jesus said, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. What are the wisdom in those words? Because God, his word, and his kingdom are the only things that will make it through forever. Do you want to be a forever person? You get to choose what world that you can live in. So what world am I living in? Is this the one that God intended for me? Or is there another world that he tells us about, that he reveals to us, that lives within us, that he designed for our benefit forever? What world am I living in? I would be remiss if I did not say that the choice is one of the most important decisions that you will ever make in your life. Because this world and all of its glory are just going to go up in smoke. And if you have invested your life and everything into this world, you will be the biggest loser on planet Earth. But you will not be alone. Because narrow is the way and narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. And just a few find it. Will you be one who chooses the right world that will give you everything that your heart desires, even though you struggle mightily to receive it? God has promised. His word never fails. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, oh man, the picture that you paint for us of the darkness of this world. And we can see it with our own eyes. But the bright hope that you've given us through Jesus Christ and the example of all those who have been faithful to you that are listed and recorded and talked about in the Holy Scriptures. Father, I just want to thank you that you have given us this vision and provided the way through Jesus Christ to gain that new kingdom that is a benefit forever. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.